Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in, and today we're joined by Judy Buskirk. Judy, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
It's great to have you, and Judy's here to share her testimony with us today. Judy, just start out by telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Okay. I grew up in southeastern Pennsylvania, a small township called Franconia. And I'm the oldest of three. One brother lives up in Pennsylvania yet, and the other one's down here. And grew up on a farm and learned very quickly that there's a lot of hard work related to that. But that was all good. That was all good. I also grew up in a church. We were in the Mennonite church, and I could not wait to get there. Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Bible study, Bible school, youth group. It was foundational in my life. So
sounds like you probably were there anytime the doors were open.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yep. You sang in the choir?
I did sing in the choir. From when I was even young, Mom would sing at the funerals that they had. And so I would even sit with her. I can still envision it, sitting there on those side benches singing at funerals. Yeah. So, yeah, music has always been a part of my life, always.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. I know that you love to sing. So, and that's great. It's a great way to engage with the Lord. And, so you grew up there in Pennsylvania and grew up in church. Did you all go to a public school? Did you go to private?
I went to public school till 10th grade.
Okay.
And from 10th to 12th, I went to Mennonite school. It's now called Dock Academy. When I was going to school, it was called Christopher Dock Mennonite High School in Lansdale. And right after I graduated then, I knew that I wanted to be in nursing, and I wanted to come down here, and that's where, you know, EMC accepted me, and that's how I got to the Valley.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So did you ever go back as far as living there, or did you just stay?
Yeah. I left my freshman year, and I knew I was going to. I basically told my mom I was not going to come back. She knew that. I've been down here since 1977.
Wow.
So lived here longer than I've lived
up
there. But my parents, well, my dad passed in 2023, but my mom still lives in the home that I grew up. When I do go home, it is still home. Mm. The farm is there. My nephew is farming now. He's the eighth generation of our family to farm the land. Yeah. So it is truly still going home.
That's beautiful. When I can. Not everybody has that opportunity.
Right. Yes, yeah. I know.
To do that. Yeah. That's wonderful.
So you mentioned that you grew up going to church. Mm-hmm. For those of us that are fortunate enough to be able to be raised like that, it's a great thing. But at some point, we have to come to make that decision personally for ourselves, and not just because that's what our parents did or our grandparents did. So do you have, what are some of your earliest memories, or when did you sense that you had to make that decision about a personal relationship with Christ?
Every summer, since we lived on a farm, we never went on vacation as a family.
I understand.
But I was able, my parents always sent us to a camp, a week camp up in the Pocono Mountains called Spruce Lake. It was there every summer for, I probably was there at least eight summers. I can't go back and count right now. But it was just a wonderful time in the mountains, but also I just felt so much closer to Jesus up there. And we had, campfire services every evening. And it was there that I was like, okay, this is something that I have to do. You know, I can't just say, well, Mom, you know, I'm following my parents' footsteps, so to speak. So, yeah. And I was baptized in the church, trying to think of that age, too, and I probably 13-ish.
And that's beautiful. But I'm thinking about you at camp. Did you ever get in trouble? You seem a little mischievous. I just have to ask.
Not that I can remember. I just always like to have fun.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to be in trouble.
Really have to be in trouble. It's just that we always had a great, I mean, we just, everything we did, we just had fun doing.
Yeah.
I remember laughing a lot, and that was then, and I still laugh a lot now. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't have any.
But it didn't bring you to trouble. That's great.
No.
That's great.
No.
Think back, and you were there to worship and to enjoy creation.
Yeah.
I believe that you all had fun. Like, I just think if you're around, whoever is around you is going to have fun.
So do you have any fun memories from your years of going to camp that stick out to you or that you would like to share?
Not necessarily, but just enjoying that landscape. You know, every weekday we would walk over to the main camp to go to the swimming pool. So we had to, I don't even remember how far it was. It seemed like a good distance. It probably wasn't even a mile. But just, for me, it was just being out in nature and just being with other people, making new friends. I had a lot of different people that I, you know, back then you could do pen pals and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So I met a lot of neat people. And then when I came down here to go to college, some of those people were down here.
Wow.
So it was kind of neat.
Cool. You said you applied for EMC then, which is EMU now. How did you hear about that? Because you grew up Mennonite?
It was my church school. Yeah. Fun story. I chose EMU because it was just a prettier campus because the other one is out in Indiana. And I really wanted to go out there because my aunts and uncles lived out there. But when I went on that campus, I'm like, no. There was a train that went right through the campus, and I'm like, I need my mountains.
Was the other one Goshen?
Yeah, Goshen College. Yeah. So, yeah, all that was, I knew what I wanted to do, but, and it all kind of worked out that way at that point. Mm-hmm. I came down here to go to nursing and met a young man the first month that I was at school. And we started dating, and he was from Hartville, Ohio, and we got engaged in the spring of our sophomore year, and pretty much I thought my life was figured out for me. I know I was very young, 20 years old, but, you know, I found the guy that I was going to get married to. I had my career, or I was working towards my career. And June 27th, that all changed because he was at a youth group outing at a Berlin Lake in Ohio, and he drowned. And at that point, my life just, I didn't quite know what to do. But so many people came around me, surrounded me with just so much love and support. I'll never forget, and this dear woman is still, I mean, she's in her 90s, but she had 4 young boys at the time. But she came over that night and spent the night with me because my mom had just had surgery that day, too, and she was in the hospital. And my dad and I were never super close. So, you know, he wasn't really there. I don't think he knew how to support me, so to speak. But this lady, her name was Nancy, and she just stayed awake with me all night long because I couldn't sleep. And she read Psalms. And that taught me a lot about being present. Yeah. Just being, I'm sure she was so busy with her normal daily things. And yet she came over and spent time with me. And I've told her many times since that was so appreciated that. But yeah, that changed a lot of what I thought I was going to be doing with my life. And then, you know, people were telling me, oh, you don't want to go back to, you know, school. It's going to be too painful for you. And I'm like, nope. I tend to just want to, I want to just go through the brick wall or wherever I need to go through with God's help. I want to do it because I don't want to stay in this place. You know, I don't want to, I don't want to be bitter or, you know, whatever those emotions would be. So I came back and finished school, and then I got a job right away at RMH on the pediatric floor. And about 7 years after John died, I got married. I started dating somebody that was working at the hospital at the time. And we had one son who's going to be 38 this year. and I think during that time with work, marriage, being a new mom, all those kinds of things, I think my I know my priorities were a little messed up. And I wasn't keeping my eyes focused on Jesus like I had been. Still going to church, but that's not what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And about 10 years into the marriage, he told me that there was someone else and that he wanted to, you know, get out. And, man, I thought death was hard, but divorce, so much more for me. You know, death was, when John died, he died loving me and he died loving Jesus. Divorce is all about rejection and grief and shame. And, you know, the way I grew up in the Mennonite church, it was just not, you know, it was like the worst sin possible.
Right.
But I'll tell you that, you know, I was so nervous to call my parents and tell them, you know, what was happening. I called them. There was not one. They were so loving, so loving, and never, "Why told you so?" or, you know, "What were you thinking?" or, you know, you need to stay with him, those kinds of things. They were just so gracious.
Yeah.
Again, something I learned, you know, because unless you walk it, you don't know it.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I struggled through that. But it was at that time also that I was just like, okay, I need to get my priorities straight again. And I would just call out to God. I am somebody that is very transparent. And I'm the same way with Jesus when I'm praying with him. You know, I'm just like, you know, like if I'm really angry, he's going to know it because he knows it already. Right. So why not?
He can
just
take it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. He wants us to be honest with him.
He wants us to be honest. And so one, I was just really frustrated with something that the divorce decree, you know, was saying that I needed to do. And I was like, and it just didn't feel fair. And I was crying out to Jesus, and I was all by myself in the house. And there was this audible voice that said, "Judy, I'll take care of this. You can just move on." And I'm telling you guys, it was instant.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Just instant peace. And I was like, whoa. but that was the day it turned, you know, and I could move on. I was never, you know, I've heard this thing about bitter and better. The difference is the I. And, you know, when you're bitter, you think a lot about yourself. And, you know, and I was like, nope, I'm not going there anymore. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about, you know, helping other people. And I had one of my dear friends during the time that we were working through the whole divorce saga. She invited me to her church, and this was a brethren church, but just got really involved in Bible studies and choir there and those kinds of things. And I was getting back into the relationship that I knew that Jesus wanted me to have. You know, it wasn't, I will say that when I was growing up, I felt like it was a little bit more legalistic, especially for the girls. I felt like there was a lot of rules about outward appearance, and I was like, that just doesn't seem fair. But anyway, we, you know, moved on, and I know it's all about relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. He cares about our heart posture more than anything.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So pretty quickly after I went to the new church, I met my husband now, Phil. I wasn't at all looking, you know, but God pretty much just brought us together. And we have so much of the same background. And we pretty quickly, we realized that this was something special and that we were going to see what the Lord had in mind for us. So we got married, and I was asked by our church at that time to start leading an adult Bible study. And I'm like, there's no way. I am not a public speaker. No. And I said, no. Well, you know, when God really wants you to do something, he doesn't let you say no. And so I wrestled quite a bit, and I'm like, okay, I'll do it. Oh, wow. I can just look back now and see why all that, you know, was happening. But we decided as a Sunday school class, and it was adults, that we weren't going to do a book or any, or, you know, a study per se. We were going to study the books of the Bible. And I went verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and most of the New Testament books. And you know how they say that when you're the teacher or when you study the most, you get the most out of things. I think that's when I really realized how much Jesus has done for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can look back and see how he was always faithful, mm-hmm. you know, through John's death and through the divorce and through, you know, other things too. But, you know, just how faithful he is. And, you know, scripture says his mercies are new every morning. And, you know, most mornings I wake up with that on my mind. Yeah. You know? But I think that was like the turning point that it made me, if the word crave or desire, I wanted Jesus more. Mm. I just wanted to get to know him more and more and more and more. So it was the more I studied, the more I wanted to get to know him more. Yeah. And it's just been, I'm just so thankful that I did not say no.
Yeah. I think about when, just in listening to you, that moment, you were so worried, concerned about your parents and how they would react, and they responded with the love of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And then something that you were so concerned about, God spoke to you and gave you freedom to put that in the past, that he would take care of you. And I wonder if that had not happened, how you would have engaged moving forward. Would it have been different? There's something about when we hear from God and we know that we know that we know we heard, and the thing that you were dealing with where he told you just to move on, like he can take care of in a second what we can try years to do, mm-hmm. or a lifetime to do. And just thinking about that, I don't want to miss that moment where you stop and you listen and you give God opportunity to speak in to your story and into your life and to give hope. And sometimes, especially when things are hard, we want to pick up and move on. And so, yeah, just I don't want to miss that for those that are listening today. Like if you're going through a hard time and you're not sure, like being able to seek the Lord and in whatever place that you can hear best, if it's outside, if it's in the mountain, you know, like sometimes there are places that we hear clearer. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of times outside for me. But just realizing how impactful that must have been for you in that season.
Yeah, because I can tell you right now, I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be married to Phil. Mm. Because the trajectory was not going
right
that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just being able to, you know, when literally, I think he has spoken to me a couple other times that I've heard him audibly speak, but this was probably the most transformative. Mm. And, you know, now, since I've had that experience, when things do happen, I tend to go, you know how I think some people will go to their best friend or, you know, spouse, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I tend to go to him first.
Mm, yeah.
'Cause I know he has, he loves me unconditionally. He loves all of us unconditionally.
That's right. Yeah, that's powerful.
And when you were talking about that, I was just thinking about a perfect picture of peace that passes understanding. Mm-hmm. You might not be able to explain it, but you could feel it and it was undeniable to you. And yeah.
And so. The transformation that comes from that. Yeah. I think that's the other piece, like the transformative work in our lives when we just seek him, surrender. And sometimes we don't even realize it's happening, mm-hmm. you know. I think a lot of times we don't realize that that's really happening until we engage in a different way when we come against something that's hard and we begin to, you know, I dealt with that a little different than I had before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And Judy, how did you all end up here at the Church of the Nazarene?
Well, there's another story to that. Again, God spoke to me. We were involved in a church, and he told me we needed to leave that church in a very, very clear way. Yeah. And we were both like, and I'm saying we, Phil and I, we were both like, no, you know, we're happy here. We like this church. This is our family. But again, I was like, I'm not going to, you know, when I hear a voice this clear, we're doing something. So we came here one Sunday. I didn't know anyone. All I can say is that God brought us here, and we came in the first Sunday. I was like, whoa, this is like a convention center because it was so big compared to our smaller church. But that very first day I was like, okay, I felt like I was at home already, if that makes sense. And you know, when I think about going back and saying yes to Sunday school, well, then in 2011, when we started life groups here, you know, it was very easy to say, okay, I can lead. And that has been just such an amazing experience of how God has brought the people in to the group that he wanted in, and just how we have become so cohesive, and just how God has worked. And we've been through literally a house fire, you know, not us, but some members of our group, and, you know, lots of different messy kinds of life things. But God's faithful, and he shows up when he needs to show up, and we just have to be faithful back. I would never have seen myself as a teacher or a leader of anything like that. I was a leader at work, but I didn't feel like I could lead, you know, at church.
Yeah, he qualifies the called.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Well, Judy, it was kind of funny that you mentioned that you said yes to lead in Sunday school, and then how because of that yes, when we started life groups here at the Church of the Nazarene, it was an easy yes. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, maybe the Lord's revealed it to you since then, but maybe that is why he had you come here for you and Phil to be leaders in life groups and to build those relationships. And I've heard my dad say before, you know, church isn't known by their seating capacity, but by their sending capacity. So maybe your previous church was a sending church.
Could be. Yeah. Could be. I do know that coming here, we have grown so much in our personal faith and in, you know, just the solid biblical teaching that we get on a every Sunday morning basis and other days during the week. It's been wonderful. And I just sometimes feel bad for people that aren't in relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
Because the joy that he brings. Margaret, you said earlier I could be mischievous. My aunt tells me that even when I was a little girl, I just always was smiling and always joyful. And I'm just so glad that I can be that. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah. And rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, you know. Yeah. So I have a heart for those that aren't, you know, that are really struggling.
Yeah.
Well, because you understand what it's like to struggle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's the, when we go through things, I think it makes us more compassionate. And when we know where our strength comes from, we know what our hope is, we have something to give people, and that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And I've watched you recently interact with some of your life group, and I think I said to you one day, I want to be a part of your life group. I mean, you know, you all do. There is such joy in your all's relationships, and we have that in ours too, but it was just, and recently someone in your life group had lost a spouse, and I just, they had to be out for a while because they were caregiving, and just, I got to be there to hear him being invited back in where there was going to be loneliness. And, you know, it may have been different, but you have lost a spouse, or you've lost a significant and you've lost a spouse. Like, mm-hmm. It's both right. And mm-hmm. Just to be able to be compassionate out of experience and have empathy is something that you can't make it up. And so thank you for how you love on people and bring joy. Even though it's not always been easy in your life, you have discovered what it takes. You've found the joy giver and found him faithful.
Well, yes. And I, you know, it's interesting now because Phil and I are in another challenging part of our life. You know, Phil has a lot of health issues and balance and mobility and many different falls and many different fractured mm-hmm. bones. And, you know, I retired in January, and I think my retirement would have looked different, but now it's this. But, you know, I don't lament that. I'm like, okay, God, this is what you have.
Yeah, and thank goodness I can be here right now, and I'm a nurse.
But it's just so, it may seem weird, but even though life at home is a little different now, and Phil is struggling, but, you know, even with him struggling, we have the knowledge that God is in control. And that we don't need to know the future because he does.
That's right.
And we also have the blessed assurance that Jesus is preparing a place mm-hmm. for us that we can go to and never have to leave. And it's going to be a place of no tears and no pain and, you know, all that. We have that
no falls.
Hope. Yeah, no falls. Oh, my. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just, people are asking me how I like retirement, and I guess some people think of retirement as traveling and doing, and that's okay. But right now, I'm just saying I'm loving it because I know I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you know, when you have that kind of peace,
right,
you can handle some difficult things.
Yes, right. So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Well, Judy, it's been great to have you. We call this program Hope Talks. So in the midst of retirement and difficult situations, what is, and just the things you've been through in life, what is bringing you hope right now in this season?
Well, my Savior lives.
Yeah.
Three words.
Yeah.
Brings me hope. You know, the grave is empty.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say that without getting excited.
Yeah.
And that's why when you guys see me singing, I cannot stand still because
I can't either. It's fine. Yeah. You're one side waving. Yeah. Over, not on the other.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's the hope. That's the hope we have. And I don't have to worry about tomorrow because he's been before it. Me, mm-hmm. he knows what's going to happen. Yeah. He will help me. He has in the past. He is now, and he will be. Which,
amen.
You know, God's faithful.
Amen. Yes, for sure,
always.
Yeah.
Maybe you have all that joy, and you get wound up on Sunday mornings. We both have Valentine's birthdays.
So that's right. We do. You're a tad bit younger than me.
I'm not that far behind you.
Yes.
Judy, it's been great to have you today. Thank you for sharing your testimony with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I pray that as you've heard Judy Buskirk's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.